Hi, I'm Melissa. I'm an alcoholic. And thanks for having me here. Thanks for asking. It's been a while. I remembered the drive here a few years ago, and it's a beautiful drive. I'll start with my sobriety date is March 3rd of 2005. I have a sponsor, whom I got shortly after coming in. And I talk to her pretty regularly. And she's, you know, she knows most everything about me, not most, you know. I'm really grateful for her and this fellowship. So I'll tell you a little bit about me and where I'm from, you know, how it was and how it is now, you know, and how I got to where I'm at today. So I'm an only child. I grew up in Hopewell, Virginia, south of Richmond. And my dad is an alcoholic. And so my mom doesn't drink a drop. So, and never has that I've ever seen. And I've asked her about it, you know, when I was little. Mom, why don't you drink? Mom, taste this. This daiquiri is so good. Or whatever, you know. And she, oh, I got sick one time. And, you know, and so she just never did. But so I grew up, you know, watching my dad drink. And hanging out with my dad a lot. My mom worked a lot. They both worked. See, my dad was a pretty functional drunk, and my mom would drag him. If he wasn't awake for work, she would drag him out of the bed to get him to work because we needed his money. So also, he was, you know, in my mind, he was a fun drunk. I mean, he took me everywhere in his truck. We'd go riding. We'd go snow. I mean, dragging me behind the truck in the snow, you know, pulling us all. Just, I remember a lot of fun with my dad. And I'm not going to focus too much on the fun because, gosh, the other night I spoke and a friend of mine says, Melissa, you made that sound really fun. And I'm like, ooh. So it was fun, no joke, with my dad and a good time. And he's a great person. But, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit more tonight about the not so good, you know, being an only child, you know, I felt like, you know, my cousins weren't allowed to come spend the night at my house because of what went on at my house. And, you know, and that's pretty sad, you know, and I'm okay with that today. I don't know why I'm emotional about it right now, but I'm, you know, that's okay. But, and I understand why, you know, today I have children and, you know, I want to protect my children and keep them out of harm's way the best I can. But, my dad though, he wasn't a mean, you know, not a mean drunk or anything, fun, easygoing dude. And he, you know, I also remember some other things that are pretty sad, but it was pretty cool at the time. You know, my dad would go to the bar after work and then, you know, he needed to come home. So we'd go calling, looking for him. My mom and I, we knew which bar. There was like two bars and we'd call them and they probably knew us by then too, you know, and that my mom would call and then we'd have to go pick him up and then we would, you know, had to get his vehicle home and my mom, so I was able to drive at a really young age, probably like 10, I don't know, I don't remember exactly, but I was driving my dad's truck home or my mom's car, vice versa, and I always had planned out in my head, what was I going to say, you know, was I, if the cop ever pulled me, you know, would you rather me or my drunk dad drive, you know, but anyway, and then as I got older, you know, teenage years, I mean, my first drink was probably through my dad, of course. You know, it was just a beer, and I thought it tasted terrible. You know, so that was probably my first drink, and I was like, ooh, this is nasty beer, you know, and he liked Miller Lite. But, and then I grew to like that. But, you know, then later, teenage years, I mean, the parties were at my house. My mom worked a lot, and so we'd have parties over at the house all the time. My dad would get alcohol, and there we went, you know, and that was pretty fun times too, you know, and alcohol was fun for me for a long time, you know, in younger years, and I even looked at it at one point as, you know, I'm just having fun, I'm just having a good time. I didn't realize, and two, I was comparing myself to my dad a lot, and I wasn't that bad. So, then later, you know, it got to, you know, I did pretty good in high school and things like that. I passed, and I was active in sports and things like that, cheerleading, softball, field hockey. Then later on, you know, it was about, you know, where the party was and stuff like that. Once I think, I don't know if this was my first drunk, but I can remember drinking, like, Boone's Farm and having, like, you know, two or three bottles instead of, like, just a little bit, you know. And, you know, I can remember getting sick and different things like that. But mostly I don't recall the getting sick part. What I recall is how it made me feel, you know. Alcohol did for me, I mean, it was just like, wow, you know, I can be free. I can dance on the roof, you know. I can do, you know, I can be myself, I guess, you know. I don't know. But it just made me feel so free of things, you know, and free of worries. And then, you know, that's basically, and then I didn't realize, too, that I couldn't control it. I mean, I wasn't trying to control it. I was just having a fun time, and I was surrounding myself with people that were doing things I was doing, too. I mean, everybody was going to the party. Wasn't everybody drinking like that? Those were not thoughts of mine too much until coming into AA, pretty much. That's kind of put those thoughts in my head. Well, wow, everybody really wasn't doing that, you know? Only a few people, probably, you know? And so then, you know, graduated high school. I got into college briefly, and that was just for more partying and fun at the time. I wasted my parents' money in the beginning for college, so then I was done after one semester. And so then I got a job at a hotel/bar, and I was doing that for a while. You know, what a great place, because I could drink and all that stuff, too, while working. And then that job I got fired from, you know, because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And I never blamed it on the alcohol, I don't guess, but, you know, I just wasn't seeing it, you know, and I was still young. I was like 18. And then, you know, then I got another job for a dentist whom I still work in that career. So that's a miracle. But, I kept that job for about 15 years, but, you know, I was not a good employee. I mean, I would go to work after coming in 5 a.m., you know, be at work at 8, and, you know, reeking of alcohol, excusing myself from my patient to go to the bathroom and vomit, come back and work on them. You know, I mean, I stole from that boss, stole their time, was dishonest with them. You know, a lot of things that I've seen that I've done wrong, that I found out, too, on my fourth step. You know, that stuff came up, you know, in going through my fourth step. But, you know, because I would do so many things and wreck so many relationships and things like that and always blame other people because I didn't take a look at me, you know. And I guess the alcohol was, you know, a tool. That was my tool. And so... So, you know, I'm going to go into more of, like, get into more recovery stuff now because I don't want to focus a whole lot on all the things that I did and places that I got, you know, because I just know that, you know, I want to tell you what my life is more like about today, you know, and how I am sober. I found AA the first time through a counselor because, you know, in drinking and the life I was living, I could not keep a relationship. I had family problems, all kinds of relationship problems, work problems. I mean, every problem you can think of. You know, I was getting involved with the law at this point, too. You know, I think at 16 years old, I had a cooler full of beer in my car at the park, you know, where people were playing ball. The police come up and, you know, I mean, it was always something that I was not, you know, that I was not abiding by, you know. I just did whatever I wanted to do to get what I wanted to get. And So, you know, I'm in counseling with all these problems I'm telling this counselor about because I, you know, I had finally found a good guy, you know. I went through lots of bad relationships, sick relationships, partly them, partly me. You know, I can see both people's faults today, although I blamed it all on them. You made me act that way. You made me do this. Well, I'm cheating on you because you cheated on me. Just, you know, the mess. So I get to this counselor, and I went on my own to her because inside of me, I was like, God, what is wrong with me? You know, I have finally met this great guy, and I'm ruining that, you know? This is someone who's not beating me, who's not, you know, who's a decent person, and I am, look what I'm doing to him, you know? It's just so... And my parents were sick of everything. You know, my dad, let's see, he was still drinking at this point, but he still had a heart, you know? I mean, he still wanted the best for me and always did. My mom, whew, she had pretty much had it. I think when I was like 18 years old, she decided, she told me that I was grown now and she was getting out. So she left my dad and I at the house, and I was like, moved my friends in, and it was party central for a while. But, you know, so I met this counselor, and I had been going to her for a long time, and she, you know, tried to put me on medication for, you know, anxiety, depression, all these things she had said that I was, and I declined the medication. She did give me a when and where, you know, months into it. And she's like, did you ever think, you know, that maybe you're an alcoholic? You know, you should try these meetings. And I'm like, you know, I didn't really think, but I needed to do something. I had to do something else. So she circled this meeting, and I don't know if she was one of us or if she was just someone that had come in contact with one of us, like through, you know, intergroup or something. And, you know, gotten some when and wheres, which is awesome, you know. So she gave me that, and I am grateful for her for that, because she was on my resentment list for not being able to get health insurance when she diagnosed me with all these things later on in life when I became a college student again. But so I go to this meeting. It's on a Saturday morning. And prior to this meeting, I will just say that the only experience I ever had with AA before that is through my dad, taking him to AA meetings, getting him out of there, and going to get beer at the store, and that kind of thing. So this was, you know, this was just me going on my own, willing. I go, and I show up at a Saturday morning meeting in Richmond, and it's huge. I mean, it's like a big auditorium type of meeting, very big. And which was cool because I went in the back and I sat in the back with the first seat I could find. And then I listened and I related a lot to whatever they were sharing. I didn't hear much about, you know, about 12 steps and that kind of stuff. It was just, maybe it was a discussion or speaker. I don't even know. I don't remember. But I would go there on Saturdays. At that point, I wasn't thinking about what format a meeting was. I had no clue, you know. So I just went. And I liked what I heard because I kept going there on Saturdays every morning at 9 for several Saturdays. And then convinced this great fiancé, who is now my husband, that great guy that I met that I couldn't keep the relationship with, and that's why I went to counseling. So he did stay with me through the thick and thin, you know. And I'm there, and, you know, and I'm good at this meeting, and then I think, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore. And I thought that was it. I thought it was just going to the meeting, getting some stuff, some clarity, and then not drinking anymore. And that's what I thought AA was about. I thought I was just going to these meetings. I didn't know you had to continue. I kind of thought I was cured after a little while. So I go home, and, you know, and he's like, oh, you're not going to that meeting anymore. I'm like, no, I'm like, you know, I haven't drank in a whole year. So a whole year lapses, and I hadn't drank, and I pretty much wasn't going to that meeting anymore. And that was the only meeting I really knew about. So I'm like, I'm good. And I was good for about a year. And then what happened was I was bartending somewhere. Shouldn't have been. And this friend of mine who did not know who was, I'm in college at this point too. I went back to school for dental hygiene at VCU. And because I worked for the 15 years, as I was saying, as a dental assistant and things like that. And then I was like, wow, that hygienist, I need to go back to hygiene school. So my husband now encouraged me, hey, you can go back to school. So I did. And this is where I met this little young lady I was bartending with. And she knew me but didn't know anything about the drinking because, you know, I hadn't drank in a year. And so she pours me a glass of wine and brings it to me. She didn't know, you know. And I took the glass of wine, and I was like, whew, you know. And I just drank it, you know. And I was like, shoot, you know. And then I went home with all this guilt, and I tell my husband, I'm like, you know, I had a glass of wine. I was like, Candace poured it for me. I was like, and, you know, and I just drank it. What was I supposed to do? I was like, but, you know, it's okay. I was like, it's been a long time. And he's like, and he wasn't that worried about it. So I felt okay then, you know, because it was all about him and how, you know, I wanted to make sure he was okay with that. And once he was okay with that, it was on. I mean, I was like, okay. I was like, so I'll just drink with you from now on. We'll just drink together. You know, it was all, I mean, my mind was just focused on that again. I mean, it was just that quick, you know. And before you know it, I was lying. I was doing all the bad things. I had coming home any hour of the night, not calling him, letting him know where I'm at. Embarrassed to death to get up and receive an award at our dental ceremony because of what I had done the night before. I didn't even know. So, you know, I've experienced the blackouts and all the things that we talk about in AA, you know. And how embarrassing that you can't get up in front of your classmates and receive an award and feel good about it, you know. I mean, inside of me, I was like, shit. What did I say? What did I do? You know, yeah, I don't know. It is very, and to this day, I don't even know. You know what I mean? I don't even know. But, so I did end up graduating hygiene school, and I actually, it's a miracle, I graduated magna cum laude of my class. I mean, I was pretty focused on my dental career, but, you know, meanwhile, my relationship with my husband was fizzling out. And he gives me the choice, you know, the ultimatum. Hey, you know, either you gotta stop or you gotta go, basically. And so somehow I found another meeting close to our house that we had gotten. And it was a beginner meeting. And thank God for that meeting because at that meeting, since I've gone there, I haven't had a drink since. That meeting is where I met my sponsor. My husband went with me to support me and has always supported me through this. So I go to this meeting with him, and I'm just in tears because I'm just done, you know. And I forgot to mention, I had tried church with him and these other things, but when I went to church, I just felt like I was being... like the preacher was just talking to me, and like I was being condemned for all this crap I had done, you know. And I would sit in church and just be in tears, guilt, remorse, all the stuff, you know. I was just like, oh my God, he's talking to me. And, you know, that just didn't work for me. That's not how I found my higher power or spirituality or anything. And I didn't really grow up in church either, just to bring you back to that. You know, my parents didn't go to church, and I'd go with my cousins here and there or whatever. And I was baptized when I was, I don't know how old, but, you know, I don't know how much good that did. I mean, I thought you get baptized and you're good, but no, that's not it. You know, I'm going to this meeting, and what I remember about this meeting that was different was all these women just flocked to me, you know. And they came up, and they're introducing themselves, and they're giving me their number on the when and where, and circling meetings that they like, and stuff like that. And I do remember, too, that a couple women actually took my number, which was key. because, and later I became, I came to find out that that is key because, you know, I wasn't calling anybody. I mean, I was too scared to reach out, and I didn't know that's what you do. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know I needed that much help. I don't know. But that was not going to be in me to reach out. So this woman called me one night at home when I was taking a bath. My husband comes and knocks on the door, and he's like, Andrea's on the phone. And I'm like, okay. So I quickly get out, and I was, like, so happy that she called. I mean, I was just fulfilled that she called me because I knew who it was. And, you know, and that meant the world to me. I don't know if I've told her that, but it really did. And so I'm talking to her on the phone, and it's nothing, you know, it's not so much about drinking. It's just about, hey, when I see you Tuesday, you know, have you met so-and-so? Have you met so-and-so, these women, you know? And she's like, well, you know, you should really hook up with so-and-so. Maybe y'all should go to dinner. And I'm just like, oh, you know. And it was a little overwhelming, but it was good, you know, it was what I needed. And so then when I went back to that meeting, I felt like I knew her, you know, so there she was. And that's the beauty of committed meetings, because the same people are there and you see the same faces. And then I just became, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just like I mixed in with those people, and that's how it happened, slowly but surely. And then this meeting too was also key because it was a beginner meeting. And it was, they would go around the room and introduce themselves. We'd all have to say who we were, our sobriety date, and if we had a sponsor. And for a while there, I would keep saying, and I don't have a sponsor. And then I felt, I was sort of getting to know these people, and people would come up after me, you still don't have a sponsor? You know, and that kind of, I was like, shh, you know? So then I'd go over to the literature table that I keep hearing announced at a meeting, and I go check it out, and there's a pamphlet on sponsorship. So I take that home, and I read it with my husband, and I'm like, and he was probably still going with me. He went whenever I wanted him to go to the meeting, and then later I felt comfortable enough to go by myself because I was getting to know these people, and I didn't need him there, you know. Thank God. He was probably tired of it. He is not an alcoholic, and he's really like, good God. But anyway, So I got the pamphlet, and I'm reading it, like, word for word, because I'm, like, all nervous about the sponsor thing, and I'm going over it with him, you know, my husband in bed. I'm like, what do you think about this? I mean, is this what I should do? You know, second-guessing everything, and, oh, it's just ridiculous. But anyway, I ended up asking this woman to sponsor me, and she's still my sponsor today, same girl, and she's been out here to speak, I'm sure, but actually I saw her thing over there, but she, you know, she had asked me to dinner one night, you know, like people did, because it's not only about the meeting, you know, it's about the meeting before the meeting after the meeting, and that's when you get to know more people and in a little different way, you know, and see who you click with and that kind of thing. So, you know, she asked me out to eat, and I was like, tell my husband, I think that's who I'm going to ask, you know, and I didn't know to pray about it yet, like we do in here. But so I ended up asking her, and she just told me. She's like, okay. She's like, you know, well, if you want me to be your sponsor, then this is, you know, this is what I did to stay sober. And so this is what I'm recommending that you do. And what it was sound pretty simple. It was like I was going to meet with her once a week at her house. Or somewhere, but for me it was at her house, which was 45 minutes from my house. And, but I can't believe I was willing to make that drive every week. I mean, there was only a few times in my head that I was like, God, you know, I gotta drive all the way out there. Can't she meet me halfway, you know, to my husband where I'm griping, you know. But I did it, you know. And, not only was I meeting her once a week, I also had to go to 3 committed meetings a week. One of which I made my home group, and this is just stuff she was telling me, and so then I look at pamphlet on home group, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I didn't know what any of this stuff really was, but I found out with her help, and not only her, all the other women who now I'm kind of becoming friends with, because I've been going to this meeting, same meeting for a long time, you know, and that's kind of how it it played out. You know, we met every week. We went through the steps. And, you know, and then not only was it about a home group, it was about getting a job in the home group. So, I was like, God, you know, what? And attending their business meeting, which was once a month. And that's where I found out, that's when I said, okay, I'd like to be a home group member. And, you know, or I don't even know if I said that, but they was like, oh, we got a new home group member. And, you know, and then a job in the home group, you know. There were lots of jobs to do, like greeter. I did that. What else did I do? Getting spots, coffee spots, where people spill coffee all over the rug. Rug spotter. That was one job. Another job, which I'll touch on because I shared the other night, and my friend in the meeting was like, you forgot that story when you shared your story. And I was like, which one? You know? And so I have to tell you about this because, you know, I was just reminded. But, and when I speak, I never know what I'm going to say. So, I mean, I just kind of pray a little bit and it comes out. And I called my sponsor about my speak the other night and I was like, you know, so-and-so said something and so-and-so said something. She's like, Melissa, she's like, it's okay. You know, she's like, you don't know who you're going to help. You know, you don't know who you're speaking to, you know. And as long as you help somebody, one person in that room of power, I mean, you're, you know, it's fine. You're doing what you were asked to do. So, anyway, see, I got off track. Where were we? Yeah, so the service position that really has touched my heart and other people's that have heard. So this service position was coffee maker for a huge meeting. Okay, my home group met two nights a week, Tuesdays and Friday nights. Friday night was a doubleheader. So I always asked my, it was like two meetings in a back-to-back, and I always asked my sponsor, I'm like, well, Tuesday, that's one, and Friday night, that's two, so that's three. She's like, nope. I was like, what? I mean, I felt like I got robbed on that deal, but not really, not really. I mean, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so I was coffee maker, and for a huge meeting, huge. I had to make two huge pots. I mean, so big I couldn't carry. So we had this thing you had to roll the coffee pot on. I mean, it was a big deal. And not to mention, I, at this point, had a newborn because, you know, my husband and I were doing better. We got pregnant very quick after I got in these rooms. And that was a miracle of God because I'm going to tell you what, we had tried to get pregnant for a couple years before I got into sobriety, and it never happened. Thank God, you know. But, so anyway, I'm carrying in this carrier that is heavy with the baby and have to do this coffee, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, you know, the first time or two I got my husband to come help me because I didn't know. I was a new mom with a big heavy carrier and all this. So anyway, I got in the groove of that and that became fine. And so I'm making coffee and, for weeks and weeks, months. And then, and I had the key to the church. I think I was maybe the only one with the key to the church. So something happened, like a tragedy in my life. My baby, which this is, oh. So my newborn baby, you know, she's like 6 months old at this point. She got this, we thought she was having seizures or something. So, you know, we're like, what is going on, you know, and I'm frantic and, you know, my husband's, we're looking up stuff online and we're calling the doctors and the neurologist, pediatric neurologist and all this stuff. And, you know, we get in with one. It was going to be months before we get in with one, but I started telling someone a little bit about what was going on. And then it became a big deal to them. And I was like, ooh, this must not be good. So somehow we get worked in. Well, that's on a Friday, which was my meeting. So on a Friday, all day, we're getting in these doctors. And next thing you know, it's a big, big deal. So we're in the children's hospital for a week or so. And this was a Friday. So I call this guy from my home group, who was my alternate coffee maker. And I'm like, hey. And I just quickly tell him a little bit about what's going on. And we're in the hospital and this, this, and this. And you need to get this key because, you know, the coffee. There's, I mean, good God forbid we forget the coffee or can't get in the church, you know, for the meeting. And he comes and gets it, and then he's gone, you know. Well, the way that relates is about the unity in AA, because what happened was I was going crazy. I mean, I was, like, so upset. Because, I mean, my baby got this horrible diagnosis, and that, you know, a perfectly healthy child is now going to be 100% mentally challenged, you know, and these seizures weren't really seizures. It was something just off the wall, you know, and so I don't think I've ever cared about something so much, you know, and she was mine, you know, I thought. But anyway, so all of these people from AA just pour into the hospital, and they come to the women I've met, and were so supportive through all of that, you know, and I was, I mean, that was just amazing to me. They got me through it, you know. I found myself praying to God, which the only prayers I ever said was, God, get me out of this trouble. God, get me out of this, you know. And so here I am, totally changed from this, because from these people, you know, you people. And that's just one thing I could say about service, you know, in that way. And so, yeah, that was pretty important. I left out the other night. But, so what else, you know? So I'll share a little bit too about amends, you know, I mean, okay. So, and to say one more thing, on my fourth step, because I'm going to try to keep this in order, because they said I jumped around a lot. They're like, but we know you, and you do jump around. But anyway, so the fourth step, you know, I did that as complete as I could with my sponsor, but I left off, like, one horrific thing, and I'm not sharing that with y'all, but, so, eventually, that ate at me. Oh, that deep, dark thing, you know? And eventually I shared that with another woman, because, in AA, because I've learned, too, that it's not only about my sponsor, you know? That's why I'm hooked up with other people. My sponsor knows this now, you know? I did eventually. I was encouraged to. And she didn't judge me, you know? And that, I don't know what I was so worried about. I think it was just fear of anyone even knowing, you know what I mean? But, so, fourth step, fifth step, you know, done that a few times in AA in these few years I've been sober. And, you know, back to the amends, so, you know, making that list and stuff, God, there was fear all around that stuff too, you know, but I did it, and by that point, I was okay to do that with my sponsor. I had already revealed everything, pretty much, except the one, and then, you know, so I'm to that, and I'm making the list, and we go over it. And that worked out a lot better than I expected, too, because all this fear was just about, I was so worried about what other people thought, what other people, you know, it's so nice to not be so much like that today, you know. I'll share a couple of amends. So for one was my grandmother. She came over my house a long time ago to my mom's house when I was still living there, and was just totally cursed me out and said how big of a slut I was and how disrespectful of a child I was and how I worried my mom to death. I mean, one drinking little story was, you know, I actually had this one sick relationship and totally left my parents with this guy and moved to Florida. You know, and my poor mom, you know, I didn't even tell her. You know, called her when I was there in Florida. You know, I mean, that's just how I rolled, I guess. But anyway, so, you know, then my mom, you know, she went from weighing 100 and some pounds to 70 pounds. because of this. You know, I told you I was an only child and stuff. So anyway, just the things I've done, you know. So my grandmother, rightfully so, comes over and unleashes at me, you know. So anyway, she was on my forcep, obviously. I had no relationship with her after that. None. I didn't have much of one before. I would have even probably told you that I hate her, you know. So anyway, that was an amends that I made later that, you know, my sponsor was like, why don't you just call her once a week, you know? If you just give her a call once a week, you don't even have to know what you're going to say. Just, hey, Grandma, it's Melissa. And so I think she probably fainted the first time I called. She was probably in shock. But anyway, who? No, I'm kidding. But, you know, and that was just a recommendation on my sponsor. Hey, you know, and that little bitty call that I started doing once a week for a while, and then, of course, making a little amends to her by doing that as well as something else. But, you know, now I have a relationship with my grandmother today. I don't have that hate inside of me anymore that I had for her. Just by doing that quick little phone call once a week for a while. I don't do that anymore. I mean, now when I see her at Christmas, I hug her and I genuinely love her. It has just came, you know. And then, you know, another amends was another family member. This was my cousin who wasn't allowed to spend the night at my house growing up, you know, that cousin. We played sports together in school and stuff, and she, so therefore there were boys, you know, we were close in the same age, so I was trying to steal her boyfriend at some point, you know, and she was just like, hated me probably, you know, because what a, you know, you are not a nice person, you know, that kind of thing. So she had nothing to do with me. Well, she ended up marrying that guy. And you know, in AA, going through these steps, I was married. She was married. We've grown up a lot, you know. I have one child at this point. And she shows up on my fourth step. And then she shows up on my amends. And so, you know, I ended up going to her house, you know, calling her and telling her I needed to stop by, you know, and I go, and that happened years ago, high school, you know, and I know she hadn't forgotten about it because she's married to the guy and we saw each other every holiday, you know, how uncomfortable for me and probably for them, I don't know, but for me, definitely, you know, I'm showing up with my husband and here's my cousin and her husband who I tried to, like, you know, I mean, just how embarrassing, you know. Today I can lift my head high and be proud of who I am, but it's because of amends and stuff that we're able to do to, you know, to clear the wreckage of our past, I guess, you know. And so, you know, after making amends to her, not saying I'm sorry and whatever, but, you know, really saying to her, you know, Nicole, you know, years ago when I did blah, 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 you know, I was so wrong, you know. Is there anything I can do to make that right today? And that was it. You know, she looked at me. That was with tears. And she looked at me and she was like, Melissa, that was so long ago. She's like, why are you even, you know, like, why am I even bringing that up, you know? And I was just like, you know, I didn't say anything because I tend to feel like I always have to say something. So I just, you know, my sponsor, like, just, you know, see what she has to say. And, you know, and it was not, she gave me the biggest hug. And she's like, I love you, you know, and all this. And it was just, and that was that, you know. And then every Christmas and Thanksgiving and every time on, it's okay. And I feel good. And not that it's about me feeling good either, you know, because I know that that's not what amends is about. Oh, let me get this off of me so I feel better. No. But, you know, that's what happened with that relationship. And those are just, you know, two amends, you know. But, and then, you know, I had to make amends to my family for what I had done to them, my parents and, you know, my husband. And then there were some amends, like just a few that, you know, where I would have done more harm to someone. So I didn't make, you know. But that's been okay, too. because I didn't have to release. It's just been taken away, you know? And so, and that's a miracle. You know, so the step work is huge, you know, and who I brought out with me tonight to the meeting, I met Angie when I first came into AA. And, you know, we had another step. Where are we here? The 10th step. She and I were buddies on that. My sponsor suggested early on when I got to that step, hey, do that. You can do that with a buddy. You know, start calling some woman that you're now friends with, you know, because I had all these friends in AA now. And I did not know how to be a friend when I got here. I would stab you in the back, take your boyfriend, obviously, or your husband. You know, just not a good daughter, you know, granddaughter, any of that. I didn't have any of that, you know. I didn't have anything to give. I couldn't keep those relationships with men going because I couldn't even love myself. How was I going to love anybody else? So, you know, recovery has been amazing. And Angie, I met her, you know, early. And then, so I had that first home group for about 3 years. And that's where I met my sponsor. And then I was moving to like 40 minutes away or so. And so that was a big deal in recovery to now I've got this close knit with all these people in my home group and the other meetings I went to. But I'm moving. Woo! You know, so I move and, you know, my sponsor, good suggestions. You know, hey, your next home, go to some meetings around, see what's out there. You know, when you pick your home group, make sure it's service-oriented. Make sure it's a registered group. They're doing service. They're passing along the message of AA that you've heard, you know, and that you know, and that kind of thing. So I found one, and that's good. And it's probably almost the biggest meeting in the area because a lot of the meetings there are kind of small, smaller than what I was used to. And so, you know, I picked this one, and it meets Tuesday nights. That's my home group. Tuesday night, Chester Group of Drunks. I forgot to tell you all that. It meets at 8 p.m. on Episcopal, at an Episcopal church there on Richmond Street in Chester. And that's been my home group ever since the move. So I guess it's been almost 4 years there now or something. And that's been good. I have the same sponsor, but I immediately got in service with that home group, you know. And now my service positions have changed a little bit. It's been like, I was intergroup rep at the first home group. But then now this one, I'm GSR. Oh, my gosh. What is that? No, I'm kidding. What do you do with that? But and I really, truly am finding out in that position, you know. I still find out that I forget or don't know, you know. Angie and I went to the last assembly, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I forgot to ask my home group members about this, whatever it was, you know. Ooh. But, you know, so, and that's been awesome to meet up with hundreds of alcoholics and to always feel comfortable where I go when I go into an AA meeting and to go on vacation and be able to find an AA meeting. I mean, we're everywhere to go to the store and see an AA member. I mean, how great is that, you know, because my life does not revolve around AA. AA is the center, you know, for me. My family is right there with it. And today I have two children. The little girl that happened to, miracle of God, I guess, in everyone's prayer, she is fine. She's six, sassy, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. She, oh, gosh, help me. But anyway, I have to, like, pray a lot about that. I mean, and now I'm finding that this prayer I did for my alcoholism now is incorporating to everything else in my life and the steps and everything I use for everything, for being a parent, for being a wife, for being a good AA member, for being a good employee, you know. I mean, I can be truthful at my job today. I can show up not drunk today. I can, you know, I mean, it's just a miracle. And I didn't know that I was that bad. You know what I mean? I really, you know, when I think about it today, you know, and this is funny. I've met people who aren't in AA, obviously. I've got friends in AA and out of AA. So we're in this neighborhood, and, you know, my daughter's making friends, and I have a son. He's 3. And so they're making friends in the neighborhood, and, you know, sometimes it'll be, let's take them out trick-or-treating, and all these people are pulling a wagon of beer. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. So, you know, alcohol is everywhere, you know. And for me, I am so grateful that I don't want to partake, you know. I mean, it is just a miracle of this because, you know, that was my life. And so, I mean, I can't believe that I, you know, I'm able to turn that down and be okay with that. I don't want it. I mean, what a miracle, you know, because I didn't think that I could go have fun without it or go, not even that it was fun anymore, you know. I didn't know how life was going to be without it, you know, and but it has proven to be much better, you know. And I watch people get drunk sometimes, and I'm just like, oh, God, you know. Or I don't really watch it. I'm just kind of over it, you know, and I'm just, you know. But I think the reason that I'm so confident in that, I know the reason I'm so confident in that, I have a healthy fear of drinking again. No worries there. I do have a little fear of that happening because I am plugged into these rooms, and I see people do it. So I don't think I'm immune to it. And I do not test the waters either. I mean, I do not hang out with those people that I just told you about. You know, I don't put myself in those places. I am able to do whatever I want to do. I mean, I can go to a party at a neighbor's house with drinking and be okay. You know, my husband can have a drink while we're out to dinner and I'm fine. You know, he has always asked me, hey, do you mind? You know, no. No, you know, because he doesn't have a problem with it. I know that I can't, you know what I mean? I know that I can't drink safely, you know, because for me, as it says in our book, when I drink, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, basically, that's it. I start to drink. I might tell you, oh, yeah, I'll just go have two, like I try to trick my husband into that. But that is not me. I don't want to. I do not want 2 drinks. I want a bunch and a bunch until I don't know when, you know. I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to stop. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know anything once I start drinking. So I guess I'm going to close with thanking you again for having me out to speak. And it was a great drive, like I said, and thanks, Angie, for coming out with me. And Angie, too, moved. What a God thing. I was so worried about moving. She was moving, too, to the same area at the same time. And I had no idea. I mean, we weren't that close of friends, but we were friends in AA. Well, then it comes to find out Angie's moving to Chester. And I'm like, wow. So then we hook up, and we go to meetings together. You know, and we find different home groups. And what a miracle, you know. But thanks for letting me share. Thanks for having me out.